But you, if you're a guest, the material's over here to my right. And if you're a church member, your children to my left, all right? Good. Praise the Lord, everybody. To all our guests here today, even first-time guests, God bless you. Do we have any first-time guests here today? If so, you just raise your hand, you wave at me, any first-time guests here today? Well, welcome. God bless you. Anyone else? Don't be scared. You're in a safe place. Anyone else? Let me see your hand. God bless you for being here today. Amen. What are you going to say? Oh, well, good. Amen. Good to see everyone here today. Any returning guests? Let me see your hands. Amen. Amen. Oh, good to see everyone here today. God bless you. All the way from Wilmington. Good to see you today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to James chapter 3. All right? James chapter 3. And Miss Benita, if you don't mind reading. James chapter 3. How many of you like the book of James? All the church members should say amen to that. It's in the Bible. Amen. All right, James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18. James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to saints that are scattered abroad, and he's just given a lot of practical teaching on how to live in the kingdom of God with one another, etc. And so we're going to look at these verses today as we continue on in our theme, all right? So verses 13 through 18, Ms. Benita, if you don't mind. So.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Amen. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you for your words today, Lord, and there's so much wisdom in here. And so, Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would speak to us and that you would just guide our time, Lord. We just thank you that you're so smart. And, Lord, we want to not only hear your mind but learn how to apply it in the context of our relationships. So, Lord, we just yield to you, Lord, and open up our hearts for you to speak to us through your word by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've been talking about living out God's kingdom agenda, and that's our theme. And today, we're just continuing on in kingdom relationships. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, if you, or at least consider it. We're talking about living out God's kingdom agenda and talking about kingdom relationships. I'm just going to add this phrase to it. Today, we want to talk about relational intelligence. Everybody say relational intelligence. All right, so we're going to talk about relational intelligence, and we're going to talk about it in the context of this passage right here. So that's going to be a key phrase that we're going to use this morning as it relates to kingdom relationships. So we're talking about living out God's kingdom agenda. Jesus is the king. He certainly has an agenda. And we're talking about living out God's kingdom agenda. We're talking about living life God's way. And when we're living life God's way, we live right. We live the right way, and we live a way that is reflective. And I'm not talking about just merely in terms of thoughts and our thinkings and pondering, but a lifestyle that is reflective of God's nature and his character. So we've been using definitions of the kingdom of God. One is that the sovereign rule of a ruler over a territory to impact that territory and to influence that territory with their own personal desire, will, nature, purpose, intent, so that that territory would take on the nature or reflect that particular ruler. And so also we're looking at Tony Evans' definition of the kingdom of God, a visible demonstration of the... Oh, come on now. Okay. So I've been preaching this since January, okay? So... All right, so let me try this again, all right? The visible demonstration of the... Okay, so I need to go back and go back to January and preach this again. So everybody say this, the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God for every area of our lives. All right, come on, y'all. Come on now. Come on, class. All right. Okay, so we're talking about God's rule manifested and his rule influencing our lives in a way that we come under his rule, and that's the issue of submission, of course. And when we come under his rule, we are allowing his influence, which is not only his agenda, what he desires, his intentions, but that assimilation by being in him and being with him, we begin to talk like him and walk like him and act like him. Not that we are gods, but in terms of his moral character, it's manifested in our lives. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit, actually, in Galatians chapter 5. So we're talking about God's influence and his rule manifested in our lives. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about relationships. And particularly, we're talking about relationships with one another in the body of Christ. But this is applicable from us to human beings in general, in terms of how we relate for everyone, okay, whether they're in the body of Christ or not. But we've been talking specifically about the body of Christ and our relationships with one another. And so when we're talking about living according to God's kingdom agenda in terms of our relationships, we're asking for God to influence our lives in a way that his influence permeates our lives so that our lives impact other people in relationship to one another in the way that will bring him honor, in the way that will bring him glory. In other words, in the way that will reflect his nature and his character, how we deal and relate to one another. In fact, the way we deal and relate to one another should be expressive of how Jesus deals and relates to individuals, okay? Now, he is sovereign, and he knows everything, and we don't. So he has a bit of an advantage on us. But he's given us his Spirit to help us to be like him in our relationships. Can you say amen to that? All right, and so we've been talking about loving one another, okay? And I may hit this next week if the Lord allows, but loving one another, in fact, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. It's in the book of James chapter 2. It says this is actually called the royal law. And so we'll talk about this a little bit more if the Lord allows next week. But we're talking about loving one another, and this is essential. This is one of those kind of commands and expressions of God's heart to prove and to show that we're actually in his family. The Bible says in 1 John that we know that we have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life when we, present tense, constantly love our brothers and our sisters in the family of God. The Bible says when we don't live in love, and that's not a practice in our lives, and we're talking about God's love as revealed in the Scriptures, when that's not a practice in our lives, the Bible says we've neither seen him or known him. We don't know him at all, okay? And so one of the ways that we know that we're saved is that there is this desire that God puts in our heart because he wills, he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is him. He's putting it into our hearts because it's his love that he is bringing to bear on our minds and our hearts and putting in us a desire to be good and benevolent to people, to be useful to people, agape love, okay? And so this is how we know we're saved. And so when we're talking about the love of God, we're talking about something that is intrinsic in terms of his character. He's not only holy, he's described as holy, but the Bible says God is love. So we want to know what love is all about. We need to look at God because God is love. You can say amen again to that. All right. So we were looking at last week about maturity in relationship to love because we looked at love and we looked at honoring one another, which they go together. All right. That we esteem one another. And so we're looking at maturity in relationship to love. We were looking at 1 Corinthians last week and chapter 13, verse 11, when the Apostle Paul was talking about love throughout the chapter. When he gets to the end of the chapter, he says, when I was a child, I should speak as a child, I should think as a child, I should reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so this is something intentional. This is something that childishness just didn't fall off of him. It was something that he chose to do. Just like anyone else, we have to choose to be mature. And so we looked at some words last week in terms of Greek words for son of God or child of God. When the Bible talks about that we're children of God, the Greek word is technon, which means we're born into the family. We have his name. We have God's name. We're his child. The other word is weos. It's spelled H-U-I-O-S, weos. And weos is a son, but it's a son that's maturing to the point that they express the heart and desires of the parent. It's a mature person that really has to execute the will and intentions of the parent, knowing how to access and to express the heart and the wishes of the parent. That's weos. And so when we are living like weoses, sons and daughters, there is an expression of maturity. Because in the kingdom, there is a ruler, there is a realm, there are regulations and responsibilities. And so when we function as weoses, as sons and daughters, that we are choosing the path of maturity to not only access the kingdom of God and access God himself, because we have that privilege because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to live like mature, grown-up people in the family of God. That is the will of God, okay? Say, like Romans 8:29. I know I'm talking fast, so write all these references down, okay? For those God foreknew, he also predetermined, he predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son. So it is God's will for his children to grow up. Amen, somebody. And it is God's will, write this down in your heart, it is God's will, help me God, I'm going to apply this to me too, preaching to me right now, Jonathan. It is God's will for us to grow up in how we relate to one another. Come on now. So Paul was talking about maturity in love in the context of love in Corinthians, we're acting like children. Even though, everybody say even though. Now watch this. Even though they had the power of God in their midst, they were flowing. And Paul said, you don't even lack in any spiritual gift. They had the power of God in their midst. He constantly scolded them for acting like children. They thought that they were mature in their judgments. But he's like, you know, you got your favorite preacher, and you're using that favoritism as division. Division has sprung up because of your favoritism of your preacher. There's nothing wrong with having a favorite preacher because I know I'm your favorite preacher. I get that. I understand. But he's like, there's this, you should not be using that favoritism to the point that it brings division in the ranks. But they thought they were being spiritual by saying that I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Peter and really I'm of Jesus. And I'm shocked that Jesus was actually in that group in terms of comparison. Okay? And so they had situations where they were taking their brothers and sisters to court. And Paul was like, there's no one in your midst that's spiritual enough to help you handle your disputes. Do you not know that one day you're going to administrate angels? Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Okay. So y'all probably shocked that's actually in the Bible. He says, you're going to administrate angels one day. He says, how much more in things pertaining to this life? He says, you can't handle just civil stuff within your ranks, and one day you're going to be dealing with angelic beings. He says, man, you just got sin in your church, and you're not dealing with it, and you don't treat each other right at the Lord's Supper. These people thought they were spiritual. They had spiritual gifts flowing in the body, but they were acting like children. So Paul was talking about, look, you can have spiritual gifts, but I'm going to show you something way better than that. Live in love and grow up. And put away childish things. Those childish things was that division and treating each other bad and just have animus towards one another. He says that is childish stuff. I believe this with all my heart because I have to grow up here too. Because all of us can get in some kind of way. Can you say amen to that? We can get in some kind of way, so let's not trip about that. But I think it is wisdom and discernment to be able to know what is a good fight and when is a pitiful fight. Come on, okay? There's a good fight of faith that we stand and hold true to Scripture and then we don't compromise. But some of the stuff that we fight about ain't worth a hill of beans. And it's wisdom to know that, look, that is low living right there. I don't need to get into that. Come on, y'all. That's just, amen. So let me get off of that because I preached that last week. I don't want to preach that again today. All right. So we're talking about maturity. Everybody say maturity. And so today we're talking about having relational intelligence in our relationships and kingdom relationships, okay? And so when I'm speaking about relational intelligence, The word I'm using in connection to that is actually in the passage. In relational intelligence, from the way I'm speaking of it today, is connected to the wisdom of God. And so when we're going to have relational intelligence, we're applying God's wisdom to our relationships. Because how many of you know that God's pretty intelligent? Amen. So we want his intelligence to be brought to bear in our lives, manifested through our lives, to impact our relationships. Now, we can't control anyone's response to us, but we certainly can control our response to people and how we deal with people. And that's the vantage point we're coming from, because God is not into control. That's witchcraft. But God is about for us yielding to him and him expressing his life through us as we yield to him. And we're talking about walking in his wisdom as it pertains to our relationships. Because if we live according to God's wisdom, it helps us grow into maturity in our relationships. Because wisdom and applying God's wisdom and maturity, they go together. They go together. And we're going to look at this just in a moment. Are y'all following me so far? Are you following Ms. D? We got it, Ms. D? All right. All right. Very good. So look at James, okay? Let's look at James. So James asks a question. He asks this question, and he says, who is wise and understanding among you? He says, let him show his good conduct by the gentleness or meekness that comes from wisdom. And so before we go and unpack this verse right here, there's a couple of words we want to look at. So he's asking, who's wise? Who is the person who applies his life and his heart to wisdom? And so he's saying that wisdom has a specific conduct. Now, he's talking about relationships as we keep going, okay? So wisdom has a manifestation. There's a way that you can see that wisdom is being applied. So he's saying, who's wise among you? And so before we go and unpack all of this, let's look at what wisdom actually is. So wisdom, on a baseline definition of wisdom, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is not necessarily what you know. Wisdom is how to apply what you know. That's wisdom. Because you can know a whole lot of stuff and still be unwise. Come on, somebody. We know that. We can go to church and learn a bunch of stuff, but if we don't apply what we know, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. And how many of you know that is unwise? Okay? So wisdom is applying what we know. Now, we're talking about Scripture. So we're talking about God's wisdom. Today, we're talking about God's wisdom, okay? Because there is types of wisdom that we're going to see in this passage, but we're talking about applying God's wisdom, and we're talking about applying God's intelligence to our relationships. And we're using the word intelligence as a synonym for God's wisdom, how to apply God's knowledge to our relationships, okay? So on a baseline level, wisdom is applying knowledge, okay? All right, where does wisdom come from? We give you four places where wisdom comes from. These are not the only ones, but four places. So write this down, okay? Because you're going to teach your friends. You're going to be sitting over at the blend. You're going to be sitting at the press. You're going to be sitting with somebody at work, and you're going to talk to them and say, ooh, my preacher walked a dog Sunday. I got to tell you what he said. I am so vain. I know that. So I'm just teasing, all right? Number one. Where does wisdom come from? Everybody ask that. Say that out loud. Where does wisdom come from? Okay? Okay? Where does wisdom come from? The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the wisdom comes from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Well, first of all, the fear of the Lord is really reverencing God. It's being in awe of him and respecting him. One preacher says that the fear of the Lord is really taking God seriously. This verse of scripture has humbled me this morning as I've been meditating on this right here. Because if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that simply means that if I'm going to take God seriously, then that means that in my relationships, how I handle my money, how I do whatever, I want to be on God's agenda, and if I really want to be on God's agenda and please him, I must take him seriously. And if I take God seriously, then I will be seeking his intelligence about how to handle my money and how to deal with my relationships. Why? Because I take him seriously. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the motivation, first of all, is that I respect God and I want to please him and I want to honor him with my life. And so if that's the motivation, I'm living in the fear of the Lord. And out of that place, I am seeking not only the knowledge of God, but how to apply his knowledge to my life, because I live my life in order to please him and in reverence of him. Are you following what I'm saying? So fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in other words, if I don't take God seriously, if I'm not aiming to please God, then I probably won't ask him how to live life according to his agenda. So first of all, God must cultivate inside of us a desire to respect him and to live before him. And that comes from just really knowing who he is, and revelation from the Holy Spirit as well, that we see God and we understand that he is God. As my preacher at home says, he's in charge of breathing. You okay? He's in charge of breathing. Number two, wisdom comes via our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30, it says, Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. All right? He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a powerful verse. If Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and in him are the treasures of hidden of wisdom, are hidden or wisdom and knowledge, that it's via our relationship with him that he is willing and desirous to give us his counsel, insight in how to live in every aspect of our lives, to live under his rule and living under his rule. He wants to teach us how to live, not just the what, but the how. And so that comes from just walking and abiding and being with him. It's an ongoing process, because hopefully we're growing and maturing. Number three, wisdom comes from the word of God, from the word of God. Let me just read this to you real quick. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. Here's what King David says about the word of God. He says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He says, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. So he's just saying, look, when I just walk in your word, I'm able to get really, really smart, because I have God's intelligence working through my life, okay? And so we have, number one, the fear of the Lord. Number two, relationship with Jesus. Number three, the word of God. And number four, and lastly, we get wisdom when we pray. And the Bible says in the book of James, the book that we're in now, in James chapter 1, when he's talking about when you're going through a trial or test, he says you need to have some joy and have the right perspective. And sometimes that's very difficult to do that. But he says, when you're going through the trial and test, in context, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack how to live in the midst of this conflict, come on, somebody. How many of you need wisdom sometimes because you just don't know what to do in your conflict? I mean, the storm is raging and you don't know what to do. People are getting on your nerves and you don't know what to do. He says, ask for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you, and he won't even be mad about it. Amen. He says, but you're going to have to ask in faith. All right? So it comes from the Lord. The Lord gives us wisdom. We also know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there is words of wisdom. There is spiritual gift of wisdom. So this is just supernatural. It's a supernatural endowment from the Lord that, you know, you just know what to do. You not only know what, but you know what to do. And I love to see the spiritual gift manifested. And I tell Benita this is one of the gifts that God manifests through her for me a lot, because the Lord knows that I certainly need some intelligence. Come on, somebody. And she's a help suitable. God would use her. Sometimes she would say something, I'd be talking to her about something, and she would say it. And I knew it. I just perceive it. It comes from the Spirit of God. And she'll keep talking. And I'll say, hold on for a minute. What you just said, I don't even have enough money to pay you for what you just said. Stop. Stop. You don't have to say anything else. I just heard from heaven right there. And so it was just a manifestation of the Spirit. It just hits you because you know that God's wisdom is otherly. Amen. All right. Sometimes I know when God's speaking to my heart about doing something, because what I hear in my spirit, I know I'm not that smart. and it's the Lord. He wants to give us that wisdom. I think it's somewhere in the psalm it says like that he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Let me just say this at this point right here, and I debated on saying this because I thought, is this right or not? So push back on this if you need to. But in terms of our relationships with people, and this might be corny, Matt, but I'm just going to say it. Do you believe that God wants us to be good at our relationships? You say, oh, yeah. How many of you believe that God wants us to be good at it? Some of you are reluctant. Certainly God don't want us to be bad at it. But he actually wants us to be good in relationship building, how to respond to conflict, how to deal with stuff. He actually wants us to be good at it. And so when we're living in the fear of the Lord and we are applying our hearts to God's intelligence and his wisdom, and if all of us imagine what the family of God would be like on earth when all of us are applying our hearts to the wisdom of God and living in God's relational intelligence. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, wouldn't that just be glorious for that to happen? What would happen in our marriages when the husband and wife are bowing their hearts before God to live in relational intelligence, the wisdom of the Lord? It would just actually bring honor and glory to the Lord, and it would actually be for our good as well. And this is the will of God. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. So he says, wise and understanding. He said, let your conduct show that through the gentleness or the meekness that comes from wisdom. So real quickly, before I run out of time here, real quickly. Meekness or gentleness, the word is actually, one translation, I like it best, meekness, because we've been studying this on Wednesday night. Meekness is, a simple definition, is power under control. Meekness is knowing how to be restrained. When you just can, and to exercise strength when it's needed sometimes, that's meekness, but then knowing how to pull back. It's not overreacting. So we're looking at this in the context of relationships, that there is wisdom. When wisdom is given, and we apply our hearts to wisdom, we can know how to be restrained when we need to, and we know how to be assertive when we need to, because that comes from the wisdom of God. It's the intelligence of the Lord that will show us now is the time to assert yourself, and now is the time to pull back and shut your mouth. Come on, somebody. And I know that when I do not seek the wisdom of God and do not seek to live in the fear of the Lord in the midst of conflict, y'all better hear what I just said. When my heart motivation is not to fear God and respect him in the midst of conflict, many times I lean on my own understanding and do not live in the wisdom of God, and therefore meekness is not manifested in that situation. Come on now. The Bible says, let every man be what? Quick to hear, come on, slow to speak, finish a class, and slow to what? Because the wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. So sometimes we are slow to hear and quick to speak. So when wisdom is manifested and we are seeking God's relational intelligence in the midst of our relationships, then we know when to be assertive. And notice I didn't say aggressive. Come on now. Aggressive is, I'm going to tell you what I think and I don't care, because I'm going to speak that truth. The Bible says that our words need to be full of grace and seasoned with salt. We can speak the truth, but God always looks at our heart while we're telling the truth. Come on, somebody. So no corrupt word gets to come out of our mouths. Help me, God. But only what is helpful, okay? And so, when we decide to yield ourselves to God in this situation in terms of relational intelligence, then we can have this sense of being under the control of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we'll know how to keep our mouth shut, and we know when I speak. Aggressive is, I don't even care. Assertive is, I want to tell you the truth, but I do have your feelings in mind. I'm not going to let your feelings dictate necessarily what I do, because that can get into control. But I am mindful of where you are, so I just won't run over you. I don't run over you. You don't have permission to dominate anyone. Y'all love me? Come on now. Smile in the spirit. I know you do. You don't have permission to run over anyone. You get to deal with the creeping things on the ground, birds of the air, but not get to dominate people. I said we don't get to dominate people. Fish of the sea, birds of the air, things that creep on the ground, but not people. Say amen. Say amen. All right. So real quick. Everybody say real quick, Pastor Mark. Hurry up, real quick. All right. James chapter 3, wisdom, two types of wisdom. Real quick. Number one, he says, number one, there is an earthly, sensual, unspiritual, demonic wisdom. I said all of those adjectives because they're different translations. There's wisdom that's not from here, from heaven, okay? That's from here. Again, you remember, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So the way God thinks is not of this world. God actually said in his word, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord. I think Isaiah 55. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I mean, that's pretty high. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. And right before that, he says, let the evil man forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because my ways are higher than your ways. All right? So God's ways are way above the ways of this world system. And so there is a wisdom that is from here and is rooted in our selfishness. And it is not rooted in Scripture. And actually, he says, it's demonic. And what is the expression of that earthly, sensual, unscriptural, demonic wisdom? But demons get in and manipulate, conspire against people, and influence people, manifesting the nature of Satan. In the context, he says, bitter jealousy or envy, and selfish ambition. And last week I mentioned that envy had like two parts. One is covetousness and the other one is resentment. Like, I want what you want and I'm mad that you have it. Come on, somebody. So when we have that in terms of our in our relationships and our mentality, he says that's demonic. That's earthly. Selfish ambition is simply, the King James Version calls it vainglory. It's just the desire to put ourselves on display. Vainglory. The Bible says, all men are like grass, and the glory of man is like a flower that fades. It's going to fade. The glory of man will fade. Grass wither, flower fades, but God's word stands forever. Amen. And so he says that if you, in your relationships, you have envy and jealousy, and you are about selfish ambition and promoting yourself and putting yourself on stage and really not looking at someone else, and it's all about you. He says, you are walking in an earthly, unscriptural, sensual, demonic wisdom. It is wisdom, but it's not from heaven at all. Come on. If I'm dominating, if I'm not reaching out, if the love of God is not present, then the way I'm living and executing my life is not according to kingdom agenda. It is not the wisdom from heaven. So he's speaking to individuals and he was like, no, you don't need to live this way right here because this is not right. And he was like, look, he said, if you're living like this, he says, don't lie against the truth. Don't act like you got it all going on and your heart is right when you know on the inside, I don't really give a rip about you. This is about me. Praise the Lord. Because you know your heart is not lining up with the word of God. How many of you want relational intelligence from God's perspective? Amen. And it's laid up for us. I mean, God has smarts laid up for us. I mean, what blessed me when I was thinking about this today, because God knows, he knows my junk, he knows my brokenness, He knows the strongholds. He knows why I'm selfish. He knows the hurt, the pain. He knows the walls that I put up in my heart, the barriers that keep people out and to keep me insulated. He knows why I react the way I do. He knows my triggers. Come on, somebody. He knows that. And you know what? And when I'm dealing with you or with you or with you, he knows your triggers as well. So he knows when we're sitting in a room or we're sitting in our bedroom, we're sitting and having an elevated discussion in our marriage. He knows my triggers. He knows her triggers. And what he wants to do in the midst of that conflict where there's a whole lot of triggering going on, he wants to bring his wisdom right in the midst of that situation so that we don't pull the trigger and kill one another. I was just preaching right there. Y'all didn't even know it. Come on, somebody. Isn't that a blessing from God? That he knows my junk. And he knows the junk of the person in front of you that's driving real slow. How many of you, that gets on your nerves sometimes? He knows the junk of the person that you're sitting beside at work or you're bumping into. He knows that. That same person who tells you the same stupid stuff all the time and they're getting on your nerves. He knows why they're telling those dumb stories. And he wants to show you how to deal with somebody's dumb stuff too. How many of you know you got dumb stuff too? So the point I'm just simply making, that God knows all of this stuff, and he wants his wisdom to be applied in the midst of all of our brokenness and pain and triggers and all of that, so that we won't live from an earthly wisdom. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Our brokenness and our pain in the midst of relationships, sometimes our default is to go to an earthly, unscriptural, sensual, demonic place because that's what we're used to doing. But God's wisdom sometimes says, die. Fall on a sword and be wrong now. But Lord, just fall on your sword. Or shut your mouth. Or stand up for yourself right now and quit being a doormat. But be assertive, but don't be aggressive. God knows. Everybody say, God knows. God knows. He knows. And I'm telling you, it is smart to ask him. Now, Lord, you will be wise to know that you are weak and have triggers. You will be wise to know that. And because we know that, and that prompting in your heart, the Holy Spirit will be telling you, you know, he might not say it like this to me, but you know you're tripping. You know. I tell the Lord, Lord, you know I'm crazy sometimes. I don't know what to do. And you said, if I lack wisdom, to ask you. And you'll tell me what to do. I want to put this in front of you in Jesus' name, because I want to hit this and I'm going to close, okay? I'm going to put this in front of you in Jesus' name. I feel impressed to tell you this, that for this is for somebody in here, I believe this with all my heart, that God would want you to learn how to practice the art of taking a moment to stand back before you react. God will want you to know that you will learn how to pause before you react. Everything in every situation does not require for you just to jump in and go ballistic. Come on, somebody. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Or let me pause. Jonathan, how many times we talk about this in ministry? We just say, hold on for a minute. We'd be talking about something, and John said, what about it? I said, hold on for a minute. Because I was, in the past, I'd be like, look! And my pastor had to tell me, hold on for a minute. And when I didn't hold on for a minute, it was bad. Now, sometimes you need to respond quickly because God says, deal with this. But probably more often than not, if we just took the time to stand back and get along with God, or God may lead us to somebody who's wise and to say, how do I need to deal with this situation? Things could turn out a whole lot better. Are y'all still loving me right now? Okay, so let me say this right here, okay? So that's earthly wisdom, okay? And then heavenly wisdom, real quick, is this right here. I'm going to say this real quick. Okay, turn to James real quick. Are you still in James? Let me read your Bible real quick, Benita. Let me say this way. All right, here we go. I'm not even going to go here. You can study this on yourself because I'm out of time. But I want to say this right here. James chapter 3, here's wisdom from heaven, okay? And also, write this reference down. Okay, say Philippians chapter 2. like verses 3, 4, 5, 6, go all the way to like verse 10, 11, 12, whatever. It is really good. Because the Bible says, do nothing out of strife or selfish ambition, but in humility or lowliness of mind, let each consider one another better than themselves. Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was humble, and he was not about vainglory. This is a mindset of Jesus Christ. And in, the Bible says in James that if we have selfish ambition, that we don't have God's mind. Okay? And so right here in James, just real quick, here your homework assignment is to go here and look at the wisdom that comes from above. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, meaning that it doesn't have the envy and jealousy and selfish ambition. It doesn't have that in it, in context. It's peace-loving, being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, finish it class, for they are what? The sons of God. They are the weoses of God. They are showing maturity and taking responsibility to live in peace because Jesus is the prince of that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when I'm being a peacemaker, I am being like Jesus. That doesn't mean that I just let stuff go when I need to deal with it, but I mean that I am moving in peace. As much that lies within me, Romans 12, 18 says, I'm going to live at peace with all men. I can't make you be at peace with me, but I'm choosing the path of peace. Come on, somebody. He says, peace-loving is considerate. It just means that I'm open to do it your way instead of being stubborn. As long as we're not violating the word of God. But I'm open to do it your way. I'm not just like, it's going to be my way or the highway. Sometimes you might have to say that with the kids, but that's another sermon. Okay. It's submissive, full of mercy. It takes pity on someone when they're in trouble, even if they cause the trouble for themselves. How many of you know that God is rich in mercy? That we made trouble for ourselves, but he saved us when we called upon him. Come on, somebody. So when we are merciful, we're being like God. And we are full of good fruits. And we're not impartial in terms of, like, we treat one person one way and another person another way. And we just kind of, like, flimsy in our relationships. And we are without hypocrisy. We're not fake when we're dealing with people in our relationships. Just study that on your own. Study it on your own. I want you to stand. I want you to pray. Here's your prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? If you are in a deal and you need wisdom, or if you want to grow in maturity in relationships, I want you to pray this with me. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to live in kingdom relational intelligence. It's your wisdom. God, help me not to live in selfish ambition and envy and strife, and help me to recognize demonic, earthly, sensual wisdom, and give me discernment to know wisdom that's coming from heaven, a different origin, because that's where I'm from. And show me how to apply your mind to my situations. And Lord, that you would bring my mind and my heart into conformity with your will and your word in such a way that I can be entreatable. And I can be full of mercy, and I can be full of good fruits, and I can be a peacemaker instead of an agitator. God, show me how to be like you in my relationships for the glory of God. And I bless you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you desire prayer, I want you to come down. I'd be glad to pray.